two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast. 3 months from today, BYU will kick off against the University of Utah in Rice-Eccles Stadium. I continue to be optimistic that college football season will happen on time. In fact, I almost think that the conversation should be had should the season start sooner rather than later because potential surge in the winter time and whatnot, but nonetheless, happy to be on board here with you on Cougar Tracks Podcast, a daily look at BYU sports here on the legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and at KSL Sports on all the major social media platforms. By the way, too, I haven't promoted this enough, but you should do it. Download the KSL Sports app as well, iOS, Android. You can get notifications. You can see all of my articles up on the website. So go check that out, KSLSports.com. We've got all the latest news in BYU, local, national, everything you need in the sports world. We got you covered at KSLSports.com. So here's what we got on tap for today's program. 3 months till kickoff between BYU and Utah. Is this the year that the Cougars get it done against the Utes? It's something that we've been asking for a long period of time in regards to BYU football over the last 10 or 11 years. But is this the year? We'll look at the matchup 3 months in advance. Also, BYU football exposure during independence over the past 9-10 years has been nothing short of fantastic. There's some new data that highlights just how much BYU is on television compared to their peers in all of college football. And then again, daily profile countdown, player countdown rolls on, and one of the top newcomers in the program that you need to know gets spotlighted today as we're 92 days away till kickoff. And that's where we start with 3 months till kickoff between BYU and Utah. The Cougars and the Utes square off in another rivalry matchup, and I believe it's going to happen. I do. I'm still optimistic. I think September 3rd is when we're going to see the games played, and I think, you know, college football is going to happen as scheduled. We saw some recent news in the world of college football. I believe it was earlier this week that Notre Dame and Navy, they're moving their game from week zero out in Ireland to now week one in Annapolis, Maryland, home of Navy. So I think college football expects to be played on time. I think it's going to happen. I really do. And we're 92 days away till finding out till kickoff. And BYU and Utah, if it does go as scheduled, and I think it will, it's an interesting matchup this year because this is a season where BYU, the narrative is, they return a lot of personnel. The investment in youth the last three seasons should now start to see a big payoff. And when you talk about payoffs, I don't think there's any bigger potential payoff nowadays for BYU football than potentially beating Utah. And it's not to say that Utah is the end-all, be-all in the college football world, but they are still your biggest rival. You have to knock off your biggest rival at some point if you want to consider this a competitive rivalry still. Hey, look, the scores have been close, except for last year and a handful of select years, but they've been pretty close. They've been pretty competitive. But you got to get some wins, though. And is this the year that BYU gets it done? Now, Utah's got a lot of question marks. They come back from an 11-win season where they won the Pac-12 South for a second consecutive year. And on paper, they should be pretty good again, but I don't think they're going to be to the level that they were last season just because they lost so much experience. But their schedule is pretty favorable that it's reasonable to think that Utah could have another 9-win season potentially this year. So you're talking about a team that maybe could be a top 25 squad again. Can BYU knock them off? Utah's been a benchmark of consistency under Kyle Whittingham. Ever since about 2014, the Utes have been very consistent as a program, especially in the Pac-12 conference. And in non-conference play, they're darn near close to being undefeated. In fact, I think they are. The last loss that Utah had in non-conference play was back in 2012 when they lost to Utah State the week before they played BYU. And Utah has been tough to beat in the non-conference. Now, they don't play many great teams. I mean, BYU, sure, but still, they haven't played many Power 5 teams. They beat Michigan in a pair of seasons in 14 and 15, last year of Brady Hulk, and then the first game of the Jim Harbaugh tenure. So, Utah, I think that this year is a year, if you're going to get the Utes, it would seem like this is the year. Because, one, they got questions at quarterback, two talented players in Cam Rising at quarterback, former Texas transfer, and then Jake Bentley, a grad transfer from South Carolina. Cam Rising, I think, maybe gets the job because of the experience, but to me, you get a grad transfer because you expect he's going to come in and be a starter. And Andy Ludwig, I believe, was the one that wanted Jake Bentley, so I think that goes a long way potentially. It'll be an interesting competition to see what happens at quarterback. And then at running back for Utah, they lose their all-time leading rusher in Zach Moss. They also lose Devontae Henry Cole, who I expect to be the starter at BYU in this rivalry matchup. So their running backs look like Devin Brumfield, Jordan Wilmore, TJ Green, another good stable of backs, but none of them are anywhere close to the dominating force that Zach Moss was. Remember last year, Moss had the cast on the hand, got it ripped off, pulled off, heading into the BYU game, and still was averaging about 6-7 yards a pop against BYU. Cougars just had no answer for Zach Moss. And so, but you lose Huntley, you lose Moss. The offensive system is still in place because you brought back Andy Ludwig. But the wide receivers, I don't think are anything to be completely worried about. I mean, I think they're good. Brian Thompson, Samson Nakua, Solomon Enos, Britton Covey. There's some playmakers there potentially for Utah, but I don't think anyone's losing sleep at night over that receiving unit. Keithy's probably the best receiving option they've got. Utah's actually got some pretty good tight ends this year, and Brant Keithy and Cole Fotheringham, a former BYU recruit who the Cougars were in a hot and heavy battle to land him when he was coming out of high school in San Clemente. But, you know, BYU's defense, will they be up to the task to stop Utah's offense? This is, to me, one of those games that could be a classic Utah-BYU rivalry in terms of low scoring, maybe 16 to 13. First games for BYU in any season are always kind of tough offensively. It's just not too pretty. I mean, you look back in the Kalani Sitake era, you had 12 points last year against Utah, 28 against Arizona, which was kind of an outlier. And then you had against Portland State, 20 points, and that's against an FCS team. And then in 2016, he had 18 points against Arizona. So game ones have never been great for BYU. And I think that it'll probably be a defensive battle. Utah defensively loses a lot as well. Bradley and I, gone. John Penasini, gone. So many guys, Jalen Johnson, gone. Terrell Burgess, gone. Utah had a lot of draft picks in the NFL draft. BYU, to me, there's an opportunity here is what I'm getting at for BYU. And they have to capitalize. Now, I've always said this about this game. What's becoming tough now for BYU is you can write up a script of how they could win. But then I could tell you and point to a game that script has already played out and BYU lost. Get out to a fast start. Okay, 2018. BYU was up 21-0, or 20-0, excuse me. Lost the game. Win the turnover margin. 2016. Had six takeaways. Lost the game. Only once in the last 30 years of BYU, or 40 years of BYU football, have the Cougars lost the game when forcing six takeaways. That one game was in 2016 against Utah. And BYU only scored 19 points in that game. They lost 20-19. So that's what's going to be challenging to me, because Utah, since 2009, since Kyle Whittingham has made some blood oath or whatever it ended up being, but he made a commitment, a vow, to never lose to BYU again. And you can even talk to guys like Tom Hackett here at KSL Sports. They'll tell you, there's Kyle Whittingham, this is his game. And he does not lose to BYU. And he makes it clear to any newcomers at Utah, he inundates them with, you don't lose to BYU. It's now become this 1,000-pound hurdle that's just kind of weighing on BYU's back now. And can they overcome it? You know, will there be fans in the stands for this game? I continue to believe that that will have an impact on how this game is played and the emotions, the tension for BYU if there's no fans in the stands. If there's not, I think that favors BYU, because I've seen so many times in this rivalry game that BYU has folded to kind of the increased noise levels of a Utah Rice-Eccles Stadium crowd, or even at home at BYU. BYU fans, if they get down and out a little bit about some of the play, it kind of reflects the players. They've kind of been very vulnerable to how the crowd, the atmosphere is playing out in the stands. And I think if there's no fans, I think that maybe favors BYU a little bit. But ultimately, it's going to be one between the lines. And Utah's got some pretty good talent. I just think there's so much newness, if you will, to Utah in terms of their personnel, that there could be opportunities for mistakes. And BYU's got to pounce, especially as a more older team that's got more experience. Are they better? That'll be have to play itself out on that Thursday night on September 3rd. But they have to capitalize. Because I feel like if you win that game against Utah, the narrative around BYU football for Cougar fans, I think, would change quite a bit. I think that the belief and the investment from Cougar fans for Kalani Sitake would change a ton. You got to get a rivalry win. You have to. It's of the utmost importance. I can't point to a single head coach, at least since, gosh, what, the 50s, the 40s, 30s, that they started out 0-5 against Utah. That's just not a good look. And I know that this is a different situation where we're talking about Utah and the Pac-12 and BYU as an independent, but BYU's shown they can beat USC. They've shown they can beat Tennessee. They got to put it together now against Utah. And 92 days away, 3 months from today, we'll find out if they can actually do that and end the 9-game losing streak to the Utes. And I think Mike Wilson, Zach Wilson's dad, made an interesting comment a couple years ago. It was on a social media post going into the 2018 game, I believe, where he was talking about his experiences when he was at Utah. Because remember, Utah for the longest period of time had a huge losing streak to BYU. It was about eight or nine games or so. But then Utah broke through in 93 when Mike Wilson was a defensive lineman with the Utes, and it really changed the whole complexion of the rivalry. So if you can get one, if you can just break through and get that one, maybe it can change the complexion, it can change the narrative around the BYU-Utah rivalry going forward. And who's to say, you know, BYU, if they did get one, maybe they then go on another 9-game skid. Very possible. We've seen that in this rivalry. I mean, Utah from 2002 to 2005, they won four in a row then. And then BYU got 06-07, and then it's pretty much been all Utah ever since 4th and 18, with the exception of Georgia still running in 2009. And we don't know if he's still running at this point, because it's been darn near 11 years since BYU won that game in overtime with a senior-laden crew with Max Hall, Harvey Younga, Dennis Pitt. I mean, Harvey was a junior, but you get my point. It was an experienced crew. So can they break through? We'll find out. I think that if there's a year that they can be in a position to have a chance late in the game to win it, it seems like it'd have to be this year, and you got to capitalize with so much newness surrounding the Utah football program. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to some new data on BYU football television exposure coming up next here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in to Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. The ad you heard, go and support our sponsors. We appreciate that a ton here at KSL Sports. So I teased it on the previous segment, some BYU football television data, and I bring this up because television exposure is a big deal to BYU football. I mean, it's one of the big reasons BYU declared their football independence back in 2010. 10 years ago, crazy to think, right? But football independence does not survive without some strong television deals and television exposure to make this thing work. And BYU is playing on national television darn near as much as anyone nearly in the program, and they're with the elite programs in college football when it comes to nationally televised games. So the BYU football recruiting Twitter page put out this pretty cool graphic. It said exposure on the big stage, and it highlighted college football broadcast on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, CBS, Fox, Network Fox, and Network CBS, and NBC, Network NBC, Channel 5. It highlighted the game, the teams that are playing on those networks, not ESPNU, not FS1, not CBS Sports Network, the big six networks. And BYU, since 2016, during the Kalani Sitake era, they've had 31 games on those networks. 31 games. That's pretty impressive. And that ranks 19th nationally in college football. So think about this. BYU, in these 4 years of pretty much nondescript mediocrity, let's call it for what it is. I mean, I think BYU's shown flashes of brilliance. We all know that. But it's been kind of mediocre. We can agree. The last few years hasn't been much to write home about. I mean, in the last 4 years, of the 27 wins BYU has won, only 23 of them are against FBS teams. So you're talking about, in 4 years, an average of less than 6 wins a year against FBS opponents. But yet, despite all that, BYU is playing a ton of nationally televised games. Here's the list. Alabama's number one with 51 nationally televised games. You expect that. They're at the top of the heap in college football, pretty much either one or two in the rankings every single week. Notre Dame, they're always grandfathered in since the Four Horsemen days. Notre Dame always gets the benefit of the doubt, and they have NBC televising their home games. Clemson, exactly. I mean, same thing. They're always in the playoff hunt. 47 games. Oklahoma, 47 as well. Always in the playoff hunt. Ohio State, always in the playoff hunt, 44. Georgia, now recently always in the playoff hunt as well. Michigan, big brand, big personality at head coach, Jim Harbaugh. USC, they're kind of like BYU the last few years where they haven't had much success, but brand, they're the biggest brand out west and one of the biggest brands in college football, 39 appearances. Miami, similar, not much success, but huge brand, 39. LSU, national champion last year. Florida State, not much success as of late, but still huge brand. Wisconsin, Auburn, Florida, Penn State, Texas A&M, Iowa, Washington, and then BYU tied for 19th along with Texas, Mississippi State, and Boise State with 31 nationally televised appearances. That's pretty impressive. I mean, really, and it shows that independence works for BYU. And imagine if BYU actually put together a season where they're a 10-win team, an 11-win team. It's out there in front of them to be on nationally televised networks like the ones I just mentioned, ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, CBS, Fox, and NBC, all the time. It's right there for the taking if you can actually put together that season. You'll be on every week and on the biggest networks. ESPN will put BYU in great time slots on great networks to highlight their program. And all those programs I just mentioned, not many of which were out west. Of the programs out west, BYU ranks third. behind USC, who I mentioned, and Washington with 32 appearances. BYU, third with 31. The rest of the West, UCLA with 30, Boise State with 31, tied with BYU. Stanford, 28. Utah is only 20 appearances nationally televised on the six networks since 2016. And this has been a historic run, honestly, for Utah. One of the best four-year stretches in the program's history. Only 20 appearances. Utah State's had 12. Remember when that conversation was taking place about Utah State's passing up BYU as a program? Not so fast. I'd hold the pump the brakes there. And then dead last out west is Oregon State with 5. So, I mean, BYU, I think that's just fascinating data to me because despite just kind of some of the mediocre results, TV networks will put BYU on big-time networks and big-time kickoffs. One, because I think everyone in college football loves a novel non-conference matchup every once in a while, and BYU gives you unique matchups. I mean, six games against Power 5 teams, those are probably all going to be landing on one of these six networks. You're going to see quality games against Boise State. It's always going to be on ESPN or ESPN2. So, I mean, right there, that's about seven games that you're going to get. So the fact that they play a tough schedule, they play a unique, interesting schedule, and then they got the power of ESPN behind them with their home games, it puts BYU in a good spot. And it just kind of puts into perspective how unique BYU's situation is, that not many teams, like every game in college football is on television these days, but not everyone is on these big networks. And BYU is one of the few that consistently gets national exposure, the likes of which some of the big, powerful programs that college football has to offer. Finally, before we go out on this podcast today, 3 months till kickoff, the player countdown rolls on. And I'm excited about this individual. 92 days till kickoff, so we're highlighting number 92 in the BYU football program, and that's Tyler Batty. Tyler Batty, 6'5", 261-pound true freshman out of Payson High School. A member of the 2017 recruiting class. My goodness, the kid committed to BYU back in December 2016. And I think back to myself on a personal note. I was working at another radio station, two previous radio stations back then. I was working at 1320 KFAN back when he committed, and he's yet to play a game at BYU. I've since moved a few different spots, and now I'm here at the Legacy Home of the Cougars, and I'm very happy about that. But it's been a while we've heard Tyler Batty's name, but you're going to hear his name a lot more this year. Coming out of high school, he was recruited by BYU and Utah, also Hawaii and Air Force had offers to Batty. Played a lot of tight end in high school, and he also played some DN as well. But I think anyone that followed his recruitment knew he projected to be a defensive end at the collegiate level. Like, he was good in high school at tight end. And I think it's one of the reasons his recruitment didn't blow up to a bigger level, because there just wasn't enough film and data on him as a defensive end. But he was a really good tight end. And I think being at Payson High School, a little bit overlooked in terms of exposure. But I remember he broke out on the recruiting scene with a huge performance at the All-Poly Camp, really stood out, was one of the offensive MVPs at the All-Poly Camp back in 2015 or 16. I'm trying to think when that was. I think 2016. Then BYU offered him the Kalani Sitake. I think Ty Detmer was the first one to actually offer Batty because he played tight end so much in high school. But, you know, a kid that grew up loving BYU as far as always going to the camps and things like that, Batty, I think, always had BYU kind of in the lead, and he had his recruitment down to BYU and Utah, and the Cougs beat out Utah in the recruiting battle for Batty. And, you know, now he got back home from his mission, from serving a two-year Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints mission in Spain last July. And I thought last year, if he was going to get back, you know, at a decent time, maybe June or July, whenever that was ending up being, I thought, keep an eye on Tyler Batty. I mean, I was saying it here on the podcast last year, like, watch out for Tyler Batty. He could be a guy that maybe get some run. But he arrived so late that it was unreasonable to think that he could actually contribute in 2019. So he gray-shirted last year. He's got 5 years to play for in his BYU career. And he's going to be a guy that's going to play this season. He's not going to be an individual that just simply gets the four games and then they redshirt him. That's not the case at all. I think he's going to be someone that's contributing every single week along the defensive line. Elisa Tuiaki has noted numerous times, along with Kalani Sitake, about how they're very impressed with Tyler Batty. I mean, he's got an impressive frame at 6'5", 261. And he's been training since he got home from his mission. He's been training with guys like Uriah Leotawa, Lorenzo Fawatea. And those two guys are kind of leaders, I think, of the BYU defensive front this year. And he's been working with those guys on technique and footwork and things like that during this pandemic. So Batty, I think, is getting coached up well, and I think he's going to put in the work. And I feel like this year, I mean, there's going to be some growing pains like there always is with any sort of true freshman, but he'll give you flashes, and he could be someone in terms of the next best pass rusher in the program. I think it might be Tyler Batty. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to speak that maybe into existence. I think it could be Tyler Batty. I really do. I don't know how often we see it this year. I mean, I think best case scenario for him in his career, he's Jan Jorgensen type, where he can just, he has an incredible instincts and ability to become just a sack master. And that's what BYU needs, man. They need a guy off the edge that can just get to the quarterback. They haven't had that since Ziggy Ansah. And, you know, Batty could maybe be like a Jan Jorgensen type, maybe. That's best case scenario. That's an all-timer. So I'm putting lofty expectations, but I think he's going to be a solid contributor throughout his BYU career. I'm very high on Tyler Batty. I think he's going to be a really good football player for BYU, and I think he's going to be a guy that Cougar fans should definitely keep an eye on and be on the watch out for, is Tyler Batty, because coaches are talking about him quite a bit. I mean, Kalani Sitake last December, and then this past February at signing day, when I asked him about maybe some of the guys that were the mid-year enrollees that can make an impact, first name he brought up every time was Tyler Batty. I think he's very impressed with Batty, and I think that he's going to be someone with the six spring practices under his belt. You would like to have seen him get the full allotment of spring practices, but hey, that's what everyone in college football is dealing with these days with a global pandemic. So Batty, though, is going to be a guy that excited to see him develop and how, where, and what areas he grows in his game. Because I think there's got to be a shock element, a shock value for some of these true freshmen, a lot of true freshmen, when you get to the collegiate level and you actually get in a game. Some guys aren't phased. Like Austin Colley types are few and far between, where they show up day one and they're just an alpha, they're a dude, and they're not phased by the big stage. They just instantly perform. And it's somewhat more doable for a wide receiver or a running back to make that happen. For a D-end, it's a little bit tougher. It's one of the tougher positions to evaluate. But I think Batty's going to show moments in this season when given opportunity. And if he stays healthy, I think he's going to have a great shot to have a really good career at BYU. Very excited about the potential of Tyler Batty in his BYU career. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. Subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a rating and review. It helps out the show a ton. And make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Mitch Harper, or Mitch underscore Harper on Twitter, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and download the KSL Sports app as well. Coming up on tomorrow's podcast, very excited about this one. I'm conversing with a former BYU Cougar who was Cosmo. Yes, the man behind the mask of Cosmo. What's it like to be Cosmo, a national champion mascot? The man that had some viral moments catches up with me on tomorrow's Cougar Tracks, so be on the lookout for that. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.